this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. We want to remember the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Avis Petty, her brother, went to be with the Lord this week, and we want to remember them in prayer today. And he's with the Lord. She shared this morning with tears that he's with his mom today, rejoicing in his faith in Christ Almighty, that we know that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a room for you. If it were not so, I would have told you." But it's true, and he said, "I go to prepare that place for you." So we want to remember that family in our prayers in this time of comfort. Also for Carolyn Henderson, going through a bout of a pneumonia with her lung, and so we want to remember her as well. And then this week's been a tough week on our military, many of your families. Kandahar, I just heard this morning, got news that Kandahar, our base there, was bombed. And for me this week, it was also a little more real, because earlier this week, for 9 hours, my son, who's in a different area of Afghanistan at a base, their base was attacked for about 9 hours, and even some terrorists got through. They somehow got a hold of American soldier uniforms, and so they were having to figure out in this firefight for 9 hours and mortars who was good guy and who wasn't. And we want to remember, let's not forget, we're at war, and we want to remember the freedom that's being fought for. That's not happening on our soil. That's happening somewhere else. But our young men and women, our fathers and sons, are fighting for that, and we want to remember them in our prayers this morning. Amen. As well as in 2 weeks from yesterday, we have the opportunity to honor our heroes out here at the Blessing of the Bike and the Heroes Day, and we want to make sure that we keep that in our prayers. I've just heard from different groups, and whether they're fire or rescue or police, and we just want to have a chance to say thank you for those here, as well as I've met with the Marines and with the Army and the Air Force and Navy and talking with them to be here. And we just want to take time that day and honor them and pray for them. And so we hope you can schedule that day in prayer if you can't be here as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you so much. As we've sung, it's your Holy Spirit that we've invited to be here today. We've come to worship the Lord, to worship the King of Kings. Father, we thank you this morning that you've made a way. We worship you. To think that hardly a little over 40 days ago, we were celebrating Christ on Easter, the risen Christ. Today, we continue to celebrate that. When we think about Pentecost, when we think about the Holy Spirit being given as a gift. Today, Father, we want that gift. We want to hear from you. We want to know your very presence. The very breath that we breathe is you. Lord, come and fill us in this place. We pray for our leaders today, for this great nation of ours. We thank you for the freedoms. Your word tells us to pray for those who rule over us in government, that we might live at peace, that we might live at peace. We pray for peace in this country. We pray for our men and women in harm's way, that they might find peace, that you keep them safe. God, would you put your anointing, your blessing around them? We pray for an end to these wars, that they can come home soon. Father, we pray for our nation, for revival. It's the heart that needs revival. And God, we ask that you would change men and women, that we would be one nation under God, that we the people would say once again, let your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven today. Lord, let your glory shine. We pray for these needs that have been lifted up. God, for your comfort, where comfort's needed, for healing, for those who've had surgery, Lord, that are still suffering in pain. Father, that you would strengthen their bodies as they go through this time. They would trust in you. For at this altar, across this place, for families. Lord, today it is our prayer for families, that you would restore and heal. For marriages, that they would find comfort in you, Lord. That they would find trust. That no matter what they're going through, that they would find the blood of Christ, the mercy and grace of our God, enough. Lord, let marriages be blessed. The devil's had enough. Father, we're standing today saying, enough is enough. We're praying over our children. Enough is enough. God, would you touch our children's hearts? and let the message ring true that Christ is Lord. He is all authority. He's omnipotent. And He walks with us. He never leaves our children. Father, would You be the hound of heaven? And for those of us that hearts are broken, our children have wandered from You, would You bring them back by the love and the blood of Christ? We pray for our families. May there be a healing time of revival. We love You today. We lift You up in every way. We've come to hear from You. We've gathered together to worship You today. And worship we will. Here's our heart. Here's our mind. Here's our body. Here's our strength. We love You today in all these ways. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward and continue to worship the Lord today through our giving. I've heard testimonies the last month. We've been talking about giving the harvest. And it's been great. I have to say two things, church. Number one, way to go. God has been good to us. And we have seen that. Number two, I've heard testimonies in some of your lives. You said, Pastor, we've just never tithed before. We've never really done that. Things are tight, but we stepped out in faith. And for those testimonies, God bless you as you've seen the hand of the Lord move. And God is faithful to His promises. And some of you really put God to that place to say, I'm going to walk in that and see what happens in my own family. You have some great, great stories. I've heard many of them. And I'm glad to hear that you're walking in that faith. And God bless you, whether you give a percent, 10%, if you get to that tithe place. But the idea is that you're walking by faith. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for what you're giving. He's looking for your faith in that. And so I just want to say thank you, church. It's been a blessing to see that happening. We're going to continue to pray for these offerings. Father, would You bless these? Would You use these? You said what we sow is what we're going to see reaped. And Jesus, Your words were 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, we sow to Your kingdom because of a glad heart out of Your blessing to us. And God, for many of us, we just want to walk in that faith and just kind of see things we haven't seen before. And we want to say thank You for Your promise. It's always true. Use this, whether it's the widow's mite or Lazarus and his wealth. Father, You speak of both of those as significant and important. And so we say thank You. Bless these gifts in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we're going to start a new series. It's summertime. I'm hearing by the end of this week, it could be in the 90s. I love it. You're ready for the 90s. Well, I've been ready for the 90s for about 3 months. When I heard it snowed about a week and a half ago in the UP 7 inches. But as I've been praying about what we would talk about, what does the Lord have for us as a church? What came to mind was www.God. On the internet, it's an amazing thing that you can type into your internet just about anything at your fingertips, and on the World Wide Web, there it is. I mean, from A to Z. And I got to thinking about that, A to Z. Wouldn't it be great if you could type in www. And something about God, and you could just type in any question you have, and all the information you ever wanted was right there on the internet, right in front of your face, right on your screen. God would answer whatever it is you were looking for. Well, God's kind of given us the ability to go to Him and seek things out. So we're going to try a little short series called www.God. And we'll just find out a few things. So this morning, I want to start out by typing in one word into that website. Today's word is a search for fire. Fire is an interesting thing. I think I missed Pentecost somehow. They say it's Pentecost. I was talking to a gentleman today, and he said, Pastor, why do they call it Pentecost? Penta means five, and isn't it 40 days after Easter? I said, yes, it is. Should we call it Quadricost? And I said, okay, fine. We're going to change it right now in the church. I don't think I have that authority, but it's Pentecost. It's 40 days after Easter, and something significant happens, and it's in your text. The disciples are gathered together in the upper room, and they're worshiping God. It's Pentecost. It's actually the Feast of Weeks. And they would be gathered together like they would have every year, 40 days after Easter, and they're worshiping the Lord together. And something strange happens. Fire shows up. And I love a good fire. Fire is the word for today. I want you to think about that word fire. It has a lot of meanings. If you type in the word fire, you hear different things. For instance, you might hear someone is on fire. If you're a sports fanatic and you hear a sports commentator say, that guy's on fire, that means he can't miss. Or if you listen to the basketball commentator Dick Vitale, he'll say, that guy's on fire, baby. He's in fuego. He's in the zone. It means he can't miss. Nothing can go wrong. He's on fire. And so that's being on fire. He's not literally on fire. He's just in the zone. Or maybe you've heard firebrand. You see a kid running around. Someone says, that kid's a real firebrand. That's probably not such a good thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. A firebrand is a kid that you go, oh, he's going to be trouble. That kid's a firebrand. Watch out for him. Or maybe you've heard the word cheerleaders. When a team's not doing so well, they'll try to get the team and the crowd fired up. In fact, I went to a ball game a week ago, and right away the Tigers. Oh, the Tigers. You got to love to hate them. I mean, hate to love them. They're down 6-1. I thought, my first game of the year, and they're losing 6-1. And sure enough, somewhere around the fifth inning, they started with the chants up on the big screen. Make some noise. Get fired up. And pretty soon, 45,000 fans started screaming. My kids were losing their voice. They were screaming so loud, and everybody was getting fired up. And pretty soon, that fire started getting contagious. Next thing you know, two guys get on, and then we get another run, and then another run, and it's getting close, and Maglio-Odone steps up and hits a long, towering home run. And the place erupts. They're doing the wave, and 45,000 people are fired up. Fire, it's a good thing sometimes. Could be a bad thing sometimes. Job performance. If things aren't going so well, you might hear this term from someone like Donald Trump. You're fired. That's a bad fire. Come around the office on Monday, that's our interns every week. You're fired. Fire, it's a fascinating thing. There's trial by fire. Someone say, you're kind of going through it. It's trial by fire. You're going through, and the term is hell. People go through what seems like the worst thing that could possibly, and that's trial by fire. Some of you understand that. I love the country western song that says, if you're going through hell, keep on going. Don't slow down. Help? You might get out before the devil even knows you're there. There we go. I think that's close. Trial by fire? Hell is the fire? I don't want to get stuck in that one. So fire can be good and fire can be bad. It's interesting in the Bible, if you want to know about fires, there's a lot of places there, but fires are fascinating. Light up a fire, a bonfire, and watch people gather around it. You ever notice that? People love bonfires. You know what's amazing about that? We tell kids, don't play with matches, which makes no sense to me. I mean, it does. I understand the logic behind it. Kids don't play with matches. Kids are fascinated. But then we take the kids to fireworks and tell them how great those are. Stay away from matches, but watch the fireworks. And then we enjoy a good campfire. You know what's great about campfires? Stories. You get around a campfire and the stories start flying. Great, great stories. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're scary. I remember as a kid, we'd go deer hunting up in the Sierra Mountains in California. And my dad and all the hunting guys and the kids, we'd gather around just big, giant. I mean, the best fires you saw. I mean, these things would be several feet wide and several feet long. Just the huge fires. Logs stacked all over the place, and they'd start telling stories. And I remember one night, the stories are going, and I remember my best friend, Johnny, who was sitting over here, and I was sitting on this side, and you could see through this long fire. He was just captivated as one of the dads was telling the story about bears and how these bears love fires. And you got to watch out because they'll sneak in and they love to eat little boys. One of the dads had gotten up and made his way around the fire. And he'd come up behind a tree behind Johnny. And at just the right time, as he's sitting there, you hear this big roar, roar, and out, and Johnny comes out of his seat, jumps right in the middle of the fire. And I'm looking at this going, oh no! And his dad reaches over, grabs hold of him, and yanks him out as quick as he was in. And they're just laughing, thinking it's a great story. Standing on a couple logs right in the middle of this fire. There's something to be said about fire. We are fascinated by fire. You know, the Bible uses fire as a symbol. Think about it. And great stories go around the fires in the Bible. How about this one? There's Moses taking care of his sheep, and out of nowhere, he looks over and there's a bush burning with fire, but it's not burning. And God has a great story, and he shows up. The children of Egypt are leaving Pharaoh under his rule. As they leave at night, they have no way of finding their way around. And God shows up with a fire. And he leads them with a pillar of fire by night and says, follow this fire. Fire is fascinating in the Bible. Three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, get tossed into a fiery furnace. Pentecost, our story today. God shows up and he says, you know what? I'd like to light a fire. And I'd like every one of you to be invited. I would like to light a fire in your heart. And there's a great story that goes along with it. How would you like to have this? That God wants to light a fire in you and make you a great story. Are you ready for that this morning as we start? Let's jump in and find out, how do you get a fire? I was talking to some students last Wednesday night about passion. What fires you up? What burns you up? What burns me up? I'll tell you what burns me up. Traffic at Wadhams. Amen. What burns me up? Terrible drivers. What burns me up? Taxes. What burns you? What fires you up? I was talking to the students about it, and we were talking about passion. What really gets you fired up today? For some of you, here you go, are you ready? Some of you, it's baseball or sports. That gets you really fired up. How many sports fanatics, you know the names of every player and their statistics and all those things? My wife says, why do you know these things? I don't know. It just sticks. I get fired up about it. Some of you are fired up about your family. And I mean, you just absolutely, when the phone rings, your kids call from far away, you just get fired up. It's your passion. What fires you up? For some of you, you're fired up about missions. We got a young lady that's in Africa. She is just, it absolutely lights her fire. She's over there working right now with AIDS, trying to help these children who, up to some countries, one in every two people have died from AIDS. Orphanages, they're just children everywhere. And she's working. That fires her up. I remember reading about a 14-year-old boy on the West Coast. You know what fired him up? He woke up one day, he read a magazine, and it talked about slave trade in Europe. How so many thousands and tens of thousands of children and women are kidnapped and sold in the sex slave trade. 14 years old. It lit a fire in him, and the next thing you know, he's out raising money. This kid at 14 raises thousands of dollars, starts using the money, sending it overseas to an organization that helps rescue and get these women and children out of the sex slave trade and get them to America. 14 years old, got fired up. What fires you up today? What's going to fire you up today? What gets in your heart that just burns and pulsates in your heart? What fires you up? God wants to light a fire in your life. Well, if you're going to get a fire, as I'm talking to the kids about this, students are coming going, Pastor, I want to rescue a village in Africa. I know God wants me to do this. I've got people say, Pastor, God wants me to go fight for those who can't fight for themselves. I'm joining the military. Someone said, Pastor, I want to go to Haiti and help the relief effort there. Somebody said, I just want to work in this community. What fires you up? What gets you up and gets you going? Maybe you're saying, you know what? I don't have a fire. I had a young lady that told me, she said, Pastor, I don't have a fire in my life. And she, after the whole meeting was over, she started texting me late into the night on a Wednesday night. She's texting me saying, "How do you get the fire?" She goes, "I've only been coming here for a month. I'm a brand new Christian. I don't know what that fire is." And I said, "That's easy." And you're sitting there thinking, "Really? It's easy? If you don't have a fire today, can I tell you, God wants you to have a fire. He wants to build a fire in your life. And it's this easy. www.fire. Here's your W. The first W is this. Everyone knows if you're going to have a good fire, you have got to have good wood. That's pretty simple. Everybody knows that. That's a good standard. Now, the wood is this. The wood is the Word of God. See, you got to have good wood. You can't have wet wood. You can't have bad wood. You can't have hollow wood. You can't have wood that looks like wood, but on the inside, there's just nothing there that's going to burn. You got to have good, solid stuff. Here it is, folks. You want to get fired up? You got to stack yourself a good pile of the Word of God, one log at a time. What do you mean by that? Well, here it is. You got to take the Word of God into your life and you begin to build that up. Can I tell you something? You are ready for a big fire if you start putting the Word of God in. The Word of God starts moving in my life. I tell you, I get fired up. I start reading about a little boy. He's 13 years old. This little boy at 13 years of age, he can't do a whole lot. He's got six older brothers. This poor kid, he just wants to do something for God. And everybody kind of blows him off. In fact, his brothers go into the army and they go fight. And this little boy wants to be in the army. He can't be in the army. So his dad says, "You know what? I want you to go to check on your brothers." And the most familiar story in all of Scripture in the world today, this little boy goes and he carries cheese to his brothers. His name is David. And he goes up to this battle and he's carrying cheese. You ever feel like that? Your life with God is nothing more than carrying cheese around. You're not fired up. It's just kind of like, "What am I doing? This is the cheesiest. What is this? Is this my religion?" Can I tell you something? That little boy walks up on the mount. As he gets up there and he sees his brothers, he says, "What's going on?" He hears a guy down in the valley, 9 foot tall. You know him. His name is Goliath. He's down there cursing God. This boy gets a fire, starts burning in his heart. He says, "Who's going to go kill this guy?" And they all start standing around going, "Not me, not me. Nobody's going to kill him. Why don't you go home? Is Dad calling you? I hear Dad calling you. It's time to go home." "Shut up, little brother. You read your Scripture, it goes right along that lines. This little boy says, I'll kill him." The king brings him into his tent. He says, "You want to go kill him? How old are you?" He says, "Well, he's too young to be in the army," which is 15. So he's about 13, maybe 14 at the most. He says, I'm going to go kill this guy for you." He says, "No problem. Here, you're going to need some armor. Put my armor." Can you see little David, this little scrawny, skinny kid, looks like Huckleberry Finn. He's just a little runny kind of skinny kid. He puts on this armor, and it's so big. I mean, everything's out here. He puts on the helmet. It kind of comes down and covers his face. It looks like a little episode out of The Little Rascals. And he says, "I can't wear this stuff." He says, "How are you going to fight him?" He says, "Not a problem." He reaches in his back pocket. He goes, "I got a slingshot." I'll tell you, this kid had a fire is what he had. And he starts taking the Word of God. See, he understands the Word of God. And he starts stacking it up. "I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. I've walked with God. I'm 13 years old. I've been stacking up the truth and the promise of God in my life. I've got a fire burning." He goes down, and I love this. He goes down to that giant, and he takes off running. He doesn't walk up to him. He doesn't stand there and have a conversation with him. Oh, no, there's not. "How am I going to do this?" He's going on his way. He reaches down, scoops up 5 smooth stones out of a creek, and he takes off running as fast as he can. He reaches in his pocket. He pulls that slingshot. He grabs one of those rocks. He's swinging it. The giant has no idea what's happening and looks and says in your Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 17, "Am I a dog that you throw a stick at me?" And I can see little David, 13 years old. He's got a fire. He's running. He's swinging that thing. He says, "You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And today, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds." I tell you, if that doesn't build a fire inside of you, because some of you have giants in your life. You have giants financially. 1 in 7 families today have a house that's called underwater. The value of your house to your loan is horrible. Many of you are in debt. We know 80% of Americans right now are in debt and they're not sure what to do. You might have a giant that's looking and saying, "You're just a stick. You don't have anything." You say, no. "I got a fire in my life. I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Devil, enough of you doing what you're doing. I'm going to start walking by God's truth and God's principles. We got to start stacking up. There's a fire about to burn." That's what I want in my life. I think about Job. Poor Job, his three best friends said, Job, you've lost your family, you've lost your health, you've lost your children. Your wife said, curse God and die. Buddy, you're a mess. You are a wreck. Any of you ever feel like physically you're a wreck? Any of you feel like your spouse sometimes doesn't understand you? Any of you feel like your children just, you've lost everything? And there's Job, and I love the Word of God. He stacks up the Word of God. And they come, his wife says to him in chapter 1, curse God and die. And Job looks at his wife and says, woman, you are a foolish woman. And then he goes on and says, blessed, naked I came into the world, naked I'm going to leave the world, but blessed be the name of the Lord my God. We just sang that, blessed be His name. In a land that's plentiful, but how about this? On a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in this offering, yet blessed be His name. He gives and takes away. That's right out of Job. I'll tell you, there's the Word being stacked up. Job understood something about his God. And he had a fire in his life. It wasn't going to be put out. I think about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Three teenage boys living in Baghdad. Well, you know it is Baghdad in Iraq. Back then it was called Babylon, and the king was Nebuchadnezzar. We know this to be true. It's historical. Nebuchadnezzar built a 90-foot tower. You know, recently, not too long ago, we saw a tower come down in the very same place. Another image built in another Nebuchadnezzar. You see, Saddam Hussein had taken a coin and proclaimed himself the resurrection of Nebuchadnezzar, reincarnated. And on one side of the coin is Saddam Hussein. You flipped it over. On the other side of the coin was Nebuchadnezzar. And he erected himself right in the square. We saw it come tumbling down. Our soldiers took that down. Well, along with the Iraqi people, pulled that thing down. Well, back then, with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, same city, another tower, 90 feet tall, made of gold. Said, when you hear the music, you'll bow down and worship our God. You'll worship me. And these three boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, said, I don't think so. I got a fire building. You see, I'm stacking the Word of God up, and we're not going to have any other God except the Lord our God. We will not bow down to your God. I will not bow down to you. I will not bow down to anything. We live in a world that's asking you to bow down. I'll tell you, get a fire in your life. Start stacking the Word of God up. Don't bow down. Am I going too fast? Are we okay? I love what E.V. Hill says. I was telling the teenagers Wednesday night, teens, bear with me. I got to share this. Dr. E.V. Hill, I had the privilege of meeting this pastor. He's from Los Angeles. He's about this tall. He's a black preacher, about 5 foot nothing. He's a big round fellow, wears a three-piece suit. And can he preach? And the first time when I became, not long after I became a Christian, I heard him preaching on this text on Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I tell you, he could bellow it out. He says, there they was. They was Meshach. And they was Shadrach. And there was a bad Negro. And being a white guy from South Dakota, I went, what did you just say? And he said, that's right, I said it. There they was, three Hebrew boys tossed into the fiery furnace. Meshach, Shadrach, and a bad Negro. Yes, because if you're thrown in the fire and you don't burn, you're going to be a bad Negro too. Wow, could this guy preach? And those three Hebrew boys said this in Daniel chapter 3. They said, O king, live forever, but know this. We will not bow down. And that fire that you have, they knew the promise of God. You see, when you talk about fire, you got to understand this. The Bible says, though you go through the waters, you will not drown. Though you are in the fire, you will not be burned, for I will be with you. See, they understood that. They said, look, even if... If you throw us in that fire, our God will save us. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow down to you. And I love that. Because, see, they understood something. You want to have a fire in your life? You got to get the Word in your life. You got to take it log by log by log. Word by word by word. And start understanding the promises. See, we understand the Bible. But do you know the Bible? Start stacking this up in your life. You want the fire burning in your life, the Holy Spirit coming in and working through you, then you got to grab Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You got to grab Romans 8:28 that says, though all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord. You got to grab another scripture that says, if God is for me, who can be against me? You got to grab the word in 2 Corinthians that says, any weapon fashioned against me shall not prosper. You got to start grabbing the word and understanding God has a truth for you. And start stacking it and stacking it and stacking it. Can I tell you, you are ready for a great story around a good fire. God wants to build a fire in our lives. He can't build a fire if you don't have wood. And some of you, maybe the wood's just a little bit wet. You allowed the world to kind of dampen the truth. Don't let that happen. Get the Word of God into you. Amen? All right, let's get the second one. There's the Word. And then, once you get the Word, once you get that log stacked up in a good fire, there's one very important ingredient to make sure when you light that thing, it's going to stay lit. It's oxygen. You want to know what your oxygen is as a Christian? It's worship. Worship. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's worship. I want to make sure I know you're still awake. Okay, those of you that just fell asleep just got a nod. It's worship. If you're worshiping God, what's happening? You're talking about the oxygen moving in your life. You know what the Bible says? It says right there in the day of Pentecost came, verse 1, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came and filled them up like tongues of fire. You know what I know about the wind? Here's what I've learned about the wind. You know what burns me up as meteorologists? I hate weather forecasters. I wish I could be a pastor and be as wrong as they are and get paid the money they get paid. False prophets, all of them. You're telling me early in the week it was 80 and sunny all weekend. My daughter's game in that 80 and Sunday yesterday got rained out. We can't predict with our billions of dollars what God says. And Jesus says this. The Holy Spirit's like the wind. It blows, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with my Holy Spirit. The Bible says, suddenly, if you want to write that down, the word suddenly, underline that in your Bible. The Holy Spirit came on him when the Holy Spirit came on him. But you know what they were doing in that place? They were worshiping God. It was Pentecost. And if you're worshiping God, can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit will come on you. It's a guarantee. God says, I will inhabit the praise of my people. We've got to find a place where we're worshiping. You can't put a fire in a box. You put a box around a fire, it's going out. You got to have oxygen. You got to open that thing up and let it rise. When I rise with my praise, God descends with His Spirit. That's a good place for an amen, trust me. The Holy Spirit, I wish I could get Him figured out. I don't know where He's moving. But folks, when He moves, get on board. Can I tell you that? When you see the Holy Spirit happening like a wave, catch the wave. Shakespeare said this. There's a wave in the affairs, a tide in the affairs of men, which if caught will lead to fortune. But if missed, you will wallow in the miseries of life. Do not miss the wave of God. I understand what it is to try to catch that way and ride it as far as you can. When the Holy Spirit's moving in the church, in your home, ride it. That is the worship. That is the oxygen that moves in your life. My wife and I, a few years ago, got the opportunity, the privilege of taking our honeymoon, and we were blessed with getting some tickets to go to Hawaii. Well, if you go to Hawaii, there's only one thing I know that you've got to do while you're there. You've got to surf. So we went one day, and just off of Old Lanai there in Maui, we went to a surf shop. So here's this old man walking into the surf shop, and all these teenagers and like, aloha. And I walked in going, hey, I need a surfboard. What kind do you need? I said, one to surf on. What kind do you have? Well, here you go. And the hands, we hooked it up to our Jeep. We strapped it down. We drove to the ocean. We got to the ocean. My wife had her camera, and she said, all right, see ya, dummy. I went out in the ocean. I'm paddling out. I get out there and I'm thinking, this is awesome. How hard can this be? I'm watching these kids, you know, doing their thing. I'm hearing the Beach Boy music. I'm seeing Frankie and Annette. I'm doing the whole thing. I get out there. I paddle my heart out. I get out there. I get up and wipe out. I get out there and do it again. I'm doing this for 3 hours. And not only that, but I've got one of those little bungee things hooked to my ankle. So just to make sure when I fall and the board goes this way, it's going to spring back this way. It's not working. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. How hard can this be? Maybe I need a bigger board. So I grab the board, I pack up and say, I'm going into town. I'm going to go exchange it and get one of those big boards. So I go and get one of these 8-10 foot boards. I said, I need a bigger board. I said, the mass on this board is too much. And he goes, not a problem, man. Far out. You know, I'm like, okay, aloha. And out I go. I get that big board. I paddle out there. I'm on this Titanic. I mean, it's a big board. It doesn't look cool like all the other kids with all their drawings, but it's big. I'm thinking, I should be able to stand on this. I could build a retirement house. It's big. I get on the board. I'm going. I'm catching a wave. I go, wipe out. I can't get up on this board. It's not going to happen. The only thing I got out of that experience was my chest hurt so bad and my arms from paddling for 3 hours trying to do this surf thing. Surfers, God bless them. They're talented. I don't know how you do it. I learned this. I did not need a bigger board. We don't need bigger boards in the church. We don't need bigger churches. We don't need bigger programs. If we want God to move in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit to lift us up. That's what's going to happen. And so we need the Holy Spirit in that. You want a fire in your life? God never does anything by accident. The teens got to hear this the other night. Here it is. Men, listen to this. God gave you a name in the Old Testament to Adam. It's 3 letters. Ladies, in the Old Testament, God gave woman a name and it's 3 letters. It's almost the exact same word, except for the middle letter. But man, God calls you Ish. Ladies, Isha. What's interesting about these two things is the first and last letters are the exact same. Take the middle letters out. Ish and Isha are the exact same words then. And you take and it spells this word, Ash. In Hebrew, that's the word fire. Man, you're a fire. Woman, you're a fire filled with passions and things that fire you up. What's amazing is if you take that middle letter out of man and that middle letter out of woman, and you bring those two together, it spells a very incredible word. God never makes a mistake. It's the word Yah for Yahweh, the very name personal of God. He's in the center of man. He's in the center of woman. Guys, without God, we are a fire out of control. Ladies, without God at the center of our lives in worship, you are a passion out of control. Think about this. You take that out. You take God out of the equation in worship, and you have a man with passion, sexually, lying, greed, and all the things in the world that you see people with passions that are dangerous fire. But you put God in the center of a man in his worship and watch that fire build for God. Ladies, it's the same thing. You put God in the center of your worship, ladies, and you are a fire full of God, ready to do His will. Worship is the center of a man and the center of a woman. Isn't that incredible? God never makes a mistake. Even in a few Hebrew letters, God is showing Himself in fire. Worship the Lord. And finally this. We have the Word of God. We stack up the wood. We get the Holy Spirit by our worship and we start fanning into flame the fire that God burns within us. You want to see somebody excited about the Lord? Watch their worship. Now you say, well, what is worship? Let me just say this real quick. Worship isn't how high you jump. Worship is how straight you walk. Okay? I want to make sure. See, how high you jump, that's emotion. That's okay. It is okay to do that. But I don't care if you swing by a chandelier. I want to know how you walk when you land. God loves emotions, which is great. But a fire without God is still just a dangerous fire. It's not how high you jump. It's not how many tongues you can speak in. It's not how many demons you jump over. It's how much you love one another. The Bible says, if you want to know if someone's a Christian, look and see if they love the brethren. If you don't love your brothers, you're not a Christian. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. You want to know what a fire is? Build up the Word of God, worship, and then watch this. The last one is witness. This is one of the funniest stories in the Bible. If you've never laughed reading the Bible, you're not getting God's jokes. These guys are up in a room and they're worshiping the Lord. We know they're worshiping the Lord. It's the Festival of Weeks, the Feast of Weeks, which was 40 days after Easter. The reason they did this is at Easter, that's when, you know why we got Easter, right? Okay, everybody knows that. Well, you know why at Easter they had Easter? In the Old Testament, Easter was Passover. See, they're in Egypt. There's 10 plagues. The last one's death, killing the firstborn. So they take a lamb. They sprinkle its blood. This is a beautiful sight. They sprinkle the blood of a lamb all over their doorpost so their kids don't die. So that's why they were doing that when Jesus came along. It's interesting. A lamb got sprinkled over my doorpost on Easter. 40 days later, after Egypt, guess where they are in the wilderness? Mount Sinai. And you know what happens? Moses takes a little walk with God. He goes up a mountain. And all of a sudden the mountain just comes just a glow like a fire. In fact, we know this because the pagans during that time began to worship those mountains. They say in their ancient writings that not just Mount Sinai, but there's 7 main peaks around there. Every single one of the peaks, they said, it looks like there's angels camped on every single mountain. And they began worshiping those mountains, and they still do today. That's a fire of God. Moses goes up, and the Bible says his presence with God is so incredible that he glows. He has to put a veil on because he is glowing. He comes down the mountain. He's so excited about the fire of God, and he finds everybody bowing down to an idol of gold called a calf. And he says, Levites, kill them. 3,000 people were killed that day. The glory of God's happening, and there's still people worshiping false. God's Spirit is moving, and there are people in the camp of God still missing it. Are you missing it? 3,000 people had to be put to death because they missed the glory of God. Even the pagans looked and went, what is going on? Every mountain around here is lit up. It's like a God has descended on us. Oh, yes, He has. So 40 days later, after Jesus, you know what the disciples are doing? They're celebrating the Feast of Weeks. Moses receiving the glory of God through the tabernacle of the 10 commandments, or the, well, 613 commandments. We know 10 of them. And so he takes those. So they're up there worshiping. God, you're great. God, you're mighty. I love this. And the Bible says, as they're worshiping, because that's when God's glory comes, the Spirit of God comes on like tongues of fire. And they jump up and they go, ba, 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 baran. What? Well, they're speaking in tongues. I'm sorry. It was an itsy bitsy, teeny weeny. They start speaking in tongues. Well, what does it mean, speaking in tongues? Half the songs my parents had were speaking in tongues. What does it mean to speak in tongues? A lot of people today miss it. God's glory does not... Let's get this right. Because the Holy Spirit comes on someone, you might speak in tongues, but it's not what everybody says it is. If I get in trouble, we'll just go to Scripture. The Bible says, this guy here stood up and started talking Mede. This guy over here started speaking Persian. This guy over here started speaking Aramaic. And I love this in the Bible. It says, everybody's speaking all these languages. I mean, it goes through and takes painstaking efforts to write down all these words that Brother Ron could not pronounce half of them. Phrygia. What's a Phrygia and Pamphylia? These are places that are in your Bible because God wants you to know. There are all kinds of languages, and these guys come out. It's 9 in the morning. The Holy Spirit hits them. They get excited. They jump up. And the third thing for a good fire is a great story. And that W is witness. They all of a sudden jump out and start talking about Jesus. And this guy's in Aramaic, and this guy's in Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Crete, Arab, Parthian, Mede, Elamite, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. Why did God say that? Because these guys jumped up and all of a sudden, this guy's speaking German, this guy's speaking Czech, this guy's speaking Russian, this guy's speaking Spanish, this gal's speaking Canadian, eh? And they all understand. And they all, I love this. And they go, are you guys drunk? Now, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, are these guys drunk? Because you all know with me that after 16 shots of tequila, most people will speak fluent Deutsch. Yeah, if I want to walk into a foreign country, I just know I just take my bottle along with me. So at the airport, are you drunk? And Peter stands up and says, really, guys? That's what you get out of this whole thing? We have a story to tell you. And they start telling the wonders of God in everyone's language. And these guys have never spoken it before. Isn't that awesome? God begins to move in their lives, and God begins to change hearts. And if you want to walk into a foreign country, and I've seen documentation where missionaries have walked into a country where they go into Zambia and they start speaking Tonga fluently, and then they walk out going, I don't know a word of Tonga. If that's what God wants to do in your life, if you have a prayer language and you want to pray in a tongue, that's a whole different area. And God bless you, that's awesome. But right here, it's the word glossolalia. It's a Greek word. We get the English word glossary. It's never used here with the word unknown. They're speaking languages that people know. We're not talking about Corinthians, about prayer languages or angelic prayers or prophecy. It's a different thing. So understand, they're speaking the wonders of God. The reason the Holy Spirit comes is so that you might have a fire and tell a great story. Now, some of you teens, and very few of you teens, could probably only go to a few select type of people in our society and be able to tell a story. Piercings and tattoos and black hair and black fingernails. And you go to a goth culture, you better speak goth. You go to Hawaii and you better be able to speak Hawaiian. You've got to have the language of the people, and God will do that. He'll give you a great witness. I told you about John Wesley. I told you about this guy. He's 5'1". He was 5'1". I'm 6'2". 5'1", about that tall. He was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He was balding on the top of his hair, and the rest that he had left was white and extremely long. He wasn't by any means appealing for some reason, but he said one day, I felt my heart strangely warmed. The fire. That was at Aldersgate Street, just one day, just sitting there listening to the Bible. Book of Romans, boring. Just some guy reading. Wasn't some huge camp revival. Nobody was swinging on chandeliers. He said, I felt my heart strangely warmed, and I knew my life was different. You know what he did? He went out and started preaching to the minefields, and 25,000 people would come, and I've shared this quote many a times. 25,000 people come to hear him preach in the morning. The newspaper came and says, why are these people doing this? And you know, he would say, they come out, I don't know, I light myself on fire, and they just come to watch me burn. I think of all the statements about fire, that is probably one of the greatest ones I've ever heard. God's looking to light a church on fire. He really wants to. In fact, as we close, just know this. Years ago, when I was living in Iowa, right on the border of Iowa, Minnesota, I was driving along one day, I-90 there, Minneapolis just a couple hours to our north. I heard the news report, picked up the traffic and weather, and they said, avoid highway such and such in Minneapolis, south side. Horrible congestion, hours of congestion. It was Saturday. There was no rush hour. Everything was closed. It wasn't a big, busy day. Then they said the reason the traffic is so backed up in both directions, a church burned down last night. Everything, the pews, the beautiful stained glass, the giant, beautiful cathedral wood, burned down. The Sunday school curriculum, the chairs, everything gone. The church was burnt all the way down. The only thing left standing was this giant statue of Jesus with his arms out. Everyone in the city was coming out to see Jesus. See, it took a fire in the church for people to see Jesus inside. Wouldn't it just take a fire in our lives for people to see Jesus? Fire. WWW, God, I want to know about fire today. And here it is. He promises you this gift. Would you like the Holy Spirit? It is a gift that He offers you. Well, I'm a Christian. And you asked for forgiveness and to be a Christian? Yes, you did. But somewhere along the line, the question is, have you asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? That could have happened on that day. But for many people, they don't even seek the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul comes up on a group of people and then he says, have you got the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't even know what that is. Would you like it? And they said, absolutely. We would like the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by faith, the Bible says, to everyone who believes and receives, to you the gift can be given. To simply say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? Now we go. You've done great, kids. Let me pray with you. If you'd bow your heads, here's the question. Would you like the Holy Spirit? Would you like God to say, light a fire in me? And I would like to be a story, a good story. Because around a good campfire is always a great story. And maybe that's you this morning, and you'd like to say, God, and you'd like to pray this prayer, God, fill me with your Spirit. I want you to light your fire in me. Come into my life. And from the top of my head all the way through my body, God, let your Holy Spirit build the fire. I invite you into my life. By faith, I receive you. And God, I go and I'm waiting. Maybe it doesn't happen now or sense that now, but Lord, I know suddenly I'm going to catch that wave. And so by faith, Lord, here I am. Use me and let it happen in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God